Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
Edvest and You, a local New Hampshire nonprofit providing college student loans and student refinancing options. Information online at nhstudentloans.org or by calling 1-855-887-5430.
And from the New Hampshire Department of Agriculture, Markets, and Food. New Hampshire's farms and farmers markets are full of fresh goods, rich with agricultural heritage, and available all year long. You can locate pick-your-own-farms, farmers markets, fairs, and more near you using the directories at visitnh.gov/agriculture.
This is The Exchange on NHPR. I'm Laura Kanoy. With the midterm primary elections less than a month away, we're kicking off a series of interviews today with the Republican candidates vying for their party's nomination in the 2nd Congressional District. We want your questions, of course, if you live in the 2nd District. Our email, exchange@nhpr.org. Use Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange, or give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. You can also watch our interview today on Facebook Live. Our candidate this hour is Republican Brian Belanger of New Boston. He comes from the world of business. He calls himself the grassroots choice for New Hampshire. And Mr. Belanger, nice to meet you. Welcome.
Thank you.
So give us the 30-second elevator speech. Why should 2nd District voters choose you over the other people in this race?
Well, I believe that I'm running for the people because I'm one of the people. You know, I live paycheck to paycheck like every average family in the Grand State today. And I just believe that we need to bring the people's voice back to Congress and try and just reel in the purse strings and start saving some money in Congress and get more business people there to help. Handle that.
Definitely going to talk to you about the deficit because I know that's a big concern of yours looking at your campaign materials. But on your website, you say the fight has just begun. The establishment is trying to drown out your voice in Washington. You talked about being a grassroots candidate. If you're the anti-establishment candidate, as you sort of suggest there, who's the establishment, especially the Republican establishment, since that's the race you're competing in right now? You're running in a Republican primary.
Yeah.
So who's the Republican establishment and what's sort of the problem with them?
Well, what it is we have big business and lobbyists that control, control our congressmen and women. And it seems to be that it's more in it what's in it for them than what's in it for the people.
Give me an example of what you're talking about.
Well, when you make a decision, when you have a bill in front of you, you always got to ask yourself what's in it for the best interests for the people of for myself would be for the people of the Granite State. You know, what would the bill help the Granite Staters, you know, whether it be a small business bill or it be a bill to, you know, cut energy savings or help fund energy savings. So, you know, just prime little examples like that. It's what's in it for the best interests of the people of New Hampshire. It just seems like the lobbyists get paid a lot of money and they focus on the weakness of congresspeople, and they'll go right after them, and they'll be in their pockets. And it's kind of, you know, it's like it's a business for our congressmen that are in Washington right now. We need to bring someone to Washington that's going to want to speak for the people, that's going to want to have the people's interest at heart, and the people's voice there.
Well, and you've said as this grassroots candidate of the people that you're not a super PAC, big money candidate, that you're relying on small donations from friends and some of your own money. Does this mean, Mr. Belanger, that you think the campaign finance system should be changed at all?
Yes, I believe that campaign finance should be changed. I believe that if you live in the 2nd District, if you're a voter in the 2nd District, you should contribute to your 2nd District candidate.
So no outside money from groups like, you know, the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee or, you know, the Koch brothers or some of those big donors?
Yeah, I believe that we should, it should be individual donations. I believe that we need to, you know, individual family donations, no big corporations, no pharmaceutical companies, like you said.
It kind of sounds like Bernie Sanders there.
Yeah.
On the opposite of the political spectrum from you, but it sounds like you agree with him there.
Um, I, I do uncertain. Again, I believe that I believe going back to the beginning, before we were Republicans and Democrats and Independents, you know, we're Americans. You know, I believe that we need to all get together and become one again to build America. And, you know, the Granite State needs help. We need to bring some more small business to the Granite State. I know right now we have a good unemployment rate here in the state and everything's going well, but we need to continue. We need to keep the momentum.
So one more question about small business and so forth. And then I do want to get into some of the issues. It's a short interview, so we won't get into everything, but the deficit, gun laws and so forth. But small businesses, you said in your website, you say, you know, you have a small business background. You've been involved in a bunch of businesses. But you also said just a minute ago, paycheck, you're living paycheck to paycheck like other Granite Staters. So tell me more about what you've been doing in business and why it's been such a struggle.
Well, I'm going on in November, it'll be 4 years. I was involved in an auto accident. So I haven't been able to work.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
So since I was young, I've always had one in two jobs. I've always put into the system. And, you know, a little bit of why I'm running for Congress was it started with the healthcare. You know, when I got hurt, it was hard because my father always said, hey, when you own your business, you always put into the system because if you get hurt, you're going to need that help. Well, that help wasn't there for me when I got hurt. It took almost this 4 years to this a good 3 years to get my disability from when I got hurt. So it was a hard road, and I don't want to see another constituent go through what I went through to get what they've worked for.
Wow. So let's talk about healthcare then, because that's definitely an issue in these congressional campaigns that we've talked to other candidates about. And you've said, Mr. Belanger, you're not a fan of the Affordable Care Act, often saying 7 years of Obamacare is enough. That's a quote from you. So what don't you like about this law, especially given your personal experience with this car accident that put you out for a while?
Well, you know, I would love to see every Granite Stater have health care. I mean, I would love to see them all have health care. How we're going to do that, that's an issue. Again, like I say, we the people have to get together and come collectively and come up with. I don't have the answer to it, by all means. I mean, I'm the first one to admit that. But I'm willing to go to the table and take people's ideas with me. If I get elected to Congress, that's when I'm going to find the right people, and we're going to work together, and we're going to put a healthcare plan to help show. You know, the administration here, let's try this.
So, but what's, and I hear you that, you know, you're running for Congress and you're a business guy, so you don't have all the answers, but what's wrong with the solution that Obamacare came up with? The goal was to try to get everybody insured, and certainly the number of uninsured Americans and Granite Staters has gone down. So, what's wrong with that approach?
Well, just the increasing cost of healthcare every year people's health care is going up and up and up. You know, an average family is $700-$800, you know, for health care. Right now, a single person, whether it be male or female, if they would like to rent a two-bedroom apartment, they have to make $22 an hour just to rent a two-bedroom apartment. That doesn't include health care. That don't, you know, and a lot of employers are hiring part-time, you know, so providing health care is a hard thing. So people go on the Obamacare system. The Obamacare system, the increasing premiums go up and up and up. So it's unaffordable for the constituents in New Hampshire. And it has a lot to do with hospitals, the increasing cost to have services done at hospitals, Your meds are astronomical. We're paying four times the amount for meds than any other country.
So the insurance department reported just this week that it looks like insurance rates in New Hampshire are actually going to go down this year on average by more than 6%. So I wonder what that says to you about the success or failure of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, again, I don't have those figures, so I would have to see where that's coming from, or what area that's coming from. That could be the increasing amount of people that are just probably dropping off of it also, because we don't have the mandate anymore. The mandate will not be there.
The individual mandate's going away.
Yes, the individual mandate will go away, so people are going to drop their health care. If they don't have to have it, they may go back to the old way.
So is that bad for them to drop their health care?
Well, it is. Because
so does that mean you
want
support
people to,
the individual mandate?
No, I don't support the individual mandate. But, I mean, if people – sometimes it's put food on the table or you know, I mean, you got to make a decision when you're living paycheck to paycheck is what I'm trying to say. You know, you have to make that decision. Okay, well, do I pay a car payment? Do I pay a house payment? Do I, you know, health care? And you got to juggle those things around, and it's very tough sometimes to do these things, but if we have, you know, it's easy for Congress people in Congress because they have health care and
they have
their
very good health care.
Their health care don't get affected. You know, even if they shut down the government, their health care don't get affected.
Well, so, we could talk probably for another six hours about this and all the things that have been going on here in New Hampshire, including those lower insurance premiums that the insurance department predicts. But I want to ask you about a couple more things.
Sure.
And boy, we'll see if we can get through it. I want to talk to you about gun laws. That's been another big issue in these congressional campaigns. I've talked to so many candidates this year, and this is coming up all the time. Couple questions for you, please. First of all, on your Twitter feed, right below your username, it says, loves his Second Amendment rights. What is it, Mr. Belanger, that you love about those rights? Why is this so important to you?
Well, I mean, that's the start of everything, you know? I mean, our country was defended by an individual's right to bear arms, you know? Our farmers came out to help defend our country. I own guns. I carry gun. I've carried a gun since I was 18 years old. I have my permits. I've law-abiding. I don't think we have a gun problem in our country. We have mental health problems in our country, and we need to work to help solve issues with mental health issues. We need to make sure our first responders are taking care of what they need to do. Just by example, if you get warned multiple times that someone's going to harm somebody, we need to take action on those individuals.
So is that like a red flag law, Mr.
Yes.
Belanger?
Yes.
You're supporting red flag laws for people who seem dangerous?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
The red flag laws, yes.
That's interesting. As someone who's very strongly in favor of the Second Amendment, you also think red flag laws are a good idea.
Well, yeah, because there are people that are a criminal is going to get a gun. No matter what, if a criminal wants to get a gun, a criminal is going to get a gun. You know, there's no way around it. He'll get a gun from the trunk of a car. He'll steal one from somebody. But if a criminal wants a gun, he's going to get a gun. He's not necessarily going to go into a gun store and purchase a gun. You know, so I don't believe in taking away our law-abiding citizens' right to bear arms. But if you have mental health issues, we need to be sure that you're safe, your family's safe, and the community around you is safe.
Because suicide deaths are also a concern. So a case was filed just this week on what we're talking about, on this issue of, you know, keeping the public safe, keeping people safe. Two Manchester police officers have filed a lawsuit against the New Hampshire Department of Safety and a dairy gun shop for their role in allowing a man with a background that should have prevented him from getting a gun to purchase a pistol. As I'm sure you know, Mr. Belanger, that man, Ian McPherson, shot the two officers. Now, luckily, they were injured but not killed, but still, gunshot injuries, a serious issue. Yeah. So getting to this point about gun rights, gun responsibilities, how do you view this lawsuit?
Well, if the individual went into a gun store and produced the right paperwork to do a background check, he would have gotten his gun the proper way. There are systems set up in our government that doctors, psychiatrists, they do have flags that they can put into the government if someone has a mental health issue. But, you know, no system is perfect. So with this lawsuit, I see this is one of those areas where it fell through the crack.
I wanted to ask you one more question about guns. Pardon me for interrupting. There's an ongoing legal battle over so-called 3D guns. These are the ones you can make in your home with a 3D printer, including AR-15s, which have been used in mass shootings. I wonder, again, as a strong Second Amendment guy, but I'm hearing you express some concerns, too. What's your view of these 3D printed guns?
Well, I mean, are we going to have to... You know, are we going to have to regulate our printers now? I don't have the whole answer on the 3D printed gun. I know
this
that
is a new issue. Had, so I
yeah,
understand.
I know we've had ceramic guns for a long time that can go through metal detectors, and there are areas that you can go into your garage and you can make a gun. So as far as 3D printed guns, as far as making a gun at home, you can make weapons at home. So again, if a criminal wants to get a weapon, the criminal is going to get a weapon.
One last question for you, Mr. Belanger. Judging from what you said earlier in your campaign materials, the federal deficit's very important to you, very important to you. You stress this a lot. What would, if you were elected to Congress, would you do first to alleviate this? Would you cut? Would you roll back the tax cuts? Would you, I don't know, what would you do to tackle this?
Well, first of all, we have to hold a lot of the contracting companies accountable if they're not producing the goods to the federal government that are deserved. Right now, we're building airplanes that we're never going to use.
That's partly because members of Congress like to have those contracts in their districts.
Yeah, well, I understand that. But we also have to make it feasible for the American people. We can't build an airplane that we're not going to use. That's a waste. That's wasting money. I understand you want to keep the people working in your district. There are ways of other ways of doing that. Build an airplane that's actually going to work is what, you know, would be the number one thing.
So looking at military waste.
Yeah, military waste. It's not just military waste. There's,
other big
contracts. You go to where they're building VA hospitals. Are we really watching the contractors that are building these hospitals? You know, we need to keep an eye on, you know, what's going into these hospitals. If we can cut some of these corners, how much is these contractors charging us to build these hospitals or to do these services for us? There's always seems to be that the government gets charged more money because they're the government. We need to get someone who's in the government to say, hey, listen, let's find some people, let's do the job the right way, let's get if you built this road for an individual and you charge less money, why are you charging the government more money? That's the type of spending we got to reel in. We just have to find areas to cut and cut them.
Well, Mr. Belanger, lots more we could have talked about.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming in.
I appreciate it.
That's Brian Belanger. He's a Republican candidate running in the GOP primary for the 2nd Congressional District. Now, our series continues on Friday. Another Republican primary candidate will be with us, Lynn Blankenbecker of Concord. You can also watch all these interviews on Facebook Live, as well as listening. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you missed part of today's program, listen to The Exchange anytime at nhpr.org or subscribe to our podcast. Search Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Stitcher for NHPR Exchange.